Great. So, what I'm talking about this morning is ripples, and you can see some on the screen there. And you know what? I love those moments where you're by a pond or a lake or something, and you just throw a stone or a pebble into the water, and you just watch those ripples just form those perfect circles, and you just watch them kind of go out. And sometimes you can see just how far they go. And what I want to speak about this morning is that God moves in our lives. When God moves in our lives, there are ripples that happen. And sometimes it can be the smallest things that cause these ripples to go out. And so what I want us to look at this morning is that in church, in the way that we live our lives, God moves. And when he moves, those ripples go out. And it might be a moment where that pebble, that tiny little pebble, just drops into the water, but those ripples go on for quite a long time. Compared to, a few seconds, well, not even within a second, it will drop in, but it will take a good few seconds for it to go out, those ripples. And so sometimes we don't see the result of what God's doing in our lives, but we trust in what's happening in the atmosphere around us. And I feel for us as a church, one thing that's on my heart is that we need people to be on board, not with us, not with me, not with Horizon Church, not with the leadership. We need people to be on board with the Holy Spirit and what God's doing. Because when God's at work, we see ripples go out. And so that's a word for us as a church today. And I want us to look at what is a ripple. I love looking at definitions because you take something simple like a ripple and you read definition, it makes it a lot more complicated. So this is the most complicated definition I found. A ripple is a capillary wave which it travels along the phase boundary of a fluid whose dynamics and phase velocity are dominated by the effects of surface tension. There you go. In a nutshell, that just makes, if someone said that to me when I asked them what's a ripple, I just want to burp in their face, to be honest with you. It's just not the kind of thing I'm expecting to hear. Something a little bit more simple, a small wave or a series of waves on the surface of water, especially as caused by a slight breeze or an object dropping into it. That makes a lot more sense. I like that definition. I can understand it. The third one's my favorite definition, a type of ice cream with wavy lines of colored flavored syrup running through it. Yes, I love that. But we might have to wait for the summer for that one. You know what? I look at ripples, and what I see is an object falling from above and entering the water. And when it enters the water, it makes those ripples appear. And going back to that first definition, it talks about the boundary of fluid. And when we think about our lives, what we all see is just that surface level, that boundary. We can't see what's happening in the spiritual realms, what God's doing. We can't see what's happening underneath here. When we're in here, we might see people smiling and laughing or even crying or sharing something on the boundary, but we don't always know what's happening underneath the surface. But when the Holy Spirit moves, we see a shift in that. We see that ripple go out. And so when the Spirit moves, we see the result of that on the surface, in the boundary. And that's what I mean when I'm talking about God making ripples in us. And what happens when we make ripples? Well, you know what? You know when it starts raining lightly on the water and you see like one ripple go and you can watch those ripples go out and then suddenly it starts raining a bit more and you start to see lots of ripples. When you see lots of ripples, you can't follow all those little rings going around because it's just too much and they start to kind of cross over each other. And you know what? That's what it feels like when God's moving. And when God's moving Horizon, I've seen that. I've seen times where it's been a bit still and you're kind of like, come on, God, do something. I've seen other times where it's just like suddenly there's just things going off everywhere. And suddenly the place just gets bouncing a little bit, doesn't it? And we just feel that the Holy Spirit's moving. But the question is how do we as a church and how do we as people make sure that that's something that we continue to do and not just something that happens once in a blue moon? And you know what? I've seen it as well where like, just looking outside the boundaries of our church, that God is moving in different places. And sometimes, like recently, I'm involved in some prayer groups and other things, and God's saying the same thing to different people in incredible ways. God's speaking into people's lives about the nation, about church around the world. And sometimes you get something and you think, well, that's just me thinking that. Who am I to think that? But suddenly you realize there's five other people around the country, disconnected from each other, that have all had exactly the same word. God moves in ways in which he speaks to different people in different ways. And when he does that, he's sending out ripples. So it's not just this place, but it's around the world. It's around the nation as well. But you know what? We are, human beings are conformers. We love to just conform to what's happening and to get in line. When you go to the shops and sometimes there's a queue there and you can see that there's like arrows on the floor clearly pointing to where you're supposed to queue up. and there's a thing saying, please start the queue here, but you see everybody on that side, and you think, well, I'm not going to be the one that's different, and you go and stand in that queue until someone stands behind you and questions it, and then you kind of go, it was their fault, it was them, not me. You know what, I've noticed the same thing on like WhatsApp and social media when someone shares something, and you can react with an emoji. And I've noticed that when the majority of people have reacted with one, like if everyone's liked it, not many people will then do something different. They'll all like it. If everybody put a heart, everyone else will put a heart. And I found myself doing it, like, you know, 10 people have liked this picture of whoever saying they've been on holiday. And I'll think, well, I'll put a heart because that's a lovely thing. And then I'll think, well, if I put a heart, then they might think that I'm saying I'm in love with them or something, or, you know, something weird like that. So I'm not going to be different. I'm just going to do what everyone else is doing. Galatians 5 verse 9 says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough, and that the context of that is about bad teaching, about people trying to lead people astray by putting them under religious laws when actually God was bringing freedom. But I believe that's actually true both positively and negatively, that yeast works through, you know, the batch of dough. When things are negative, that spreads, negativity spreads, but also positivity spreads as well. And what this is about is not conforming to what everyone else is doing, but to actually kind of setting the tone ourselves sometimes and taking a step forward and saying, I'm going to do something a bit different. You know what, when I came up today and felt that God wanted me to shout out the name Jesus, I really didn't want to do it. I'd be much happier just standing there and being comfortable at the front, but I felt God called me to do it. And so I did, and I followed that. And you know what, have you noticed how when a couple of people start clapping, other people do too? But to be the first person that starts, it's quite difficult, isn't it? Have you noticed that when we're inviting people up for prayer, after a talk or during the worship, if nobody comes up, it's hard to be the first one. If a few come up, it's easier, isn't it? You know, if at the end of the service, we all just talk to each other, drink a cup of tea and go home after 10 minutes, everyone else will probably want to go home as well. But if we're staying, talking to each other, praying for each other, if you see people praying for each other, you're going to be thinking, maybe I should ask this person how they're doing and not just give the kind of service level answers of, yeah, my week's been fine, when it actually hasn't. And so what I want us to think about as a church is that we can make those ripples. I want to show us how we can do that as well. So, you know, do you want to see God move on a regular basis in your lives and in this place? Yes? Yeah? Good, good, good. Because we see that all through the Bible. And you know what? Movements start through even the smallest ripples. Bob spoke last week about the disciples. And he spoke about how we got them, we did the All Together Church, we had the kids around as well. Most of them have gone down now, but we had these pictures of the disciples for the kids to draw. We had an All Together service last week when the kids were involved. And Bob spoke about disciples and just said about the fact that they knew Jesus. They were with Jesus. You just think about that for a minute. Put yourselves in their shoes, that they saw him dead on the cross. Definitely dead, scientifically dead, because, you know, there's a part where they put the spear in the side and it's the blood and the water comes out, I think. I can't remember which way around it is, but basically, if you're dead, one of them will come out first, the blood rather than the water, and the other way around if they're alive or something. So you know, that's why the soldiers did that, is to check that he was dead. He was definitely dead. And then they saw him 3 days later. And Thomas, the one they call Doubting Thomas, I think he's more of an all-or-nothing person, which I am as well, so I can kind of understand where he's coming from. He says, I need to touch, you know, your hands and see where the nails have gone through them. And he touches them. And I think, you know what, from that moment on, I don't think he was afraid to go share the gospel. I don't think he held back when it came to share the gospel. You know, they say that Thomas went all the way to India and got killed there by a spear. You know, I don't think he was afraid to do that because he'd seen Jesus. And that's what Bob was speaking on last week. And so I want us to look at that. You know, beginning of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6 to 8, it says this. Can you get that up on the screen, please, Ola? Just the next slide, please. It says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So the disciples knew at this point that Jesus had come back to life. They've seen him for 40 days. And they're like, this is the moment. He's going to bring all things. He's going to bring the whole world back to, you know, back to the original creation, back to what God's promised. We're going to see all of that happen now. But then he says to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I want to say something first of all with this is that, verse 11 as well, which isn't up there. After Jesus goes, they're looking around and there's a voice which says, in the same way he's gone, he will come back again. So you know what? I don't think the disciples thought that Jesus would take a long time to come back. I think they thought that he'd come back pretty soon. And they lived their lives like that as well. And you know what? The other thing I was thinking about is I started thinking, well, what was the world to them then? Because we know the globe, we know the whole world. But I was looking at it, and actually, for most people around that time, they probably would have known parts of what we know as Europe, a little bit of North Africa, and Asia, maybe towards kind of India, and possibly not much more than that. So when you look at the spread of the early church, that's kind of where it went at the beginning. And so putting ourselves in their shoes for a minute, they think, right, we've got to make movement. We've got to do something. We've got to share about Jesus. This is a movement of a small amount of people. This isn't government-led, as some people would suggest. You know, this isn't any rulers. In fact, the rulers were against it. Rulers were trying to kill them and stop them, but they couldn't because it's the power of God. And so they met together, they prayed together, they prayed for others, they told them about Jesus, and wherever they went, there were these ripples that were sent out. And so we have to take, for a minute here, our whole understanding of what church is. This thing, the stuff we see all around, those buildings, ministers, people, elders, deacons, all that stuff, just take it for a minute and just park it, because this wasn't that. This was just a group of people who knew Jesus and wanted other people to know Jesus. No structure at all. And so what I want to look at is just how the church, kind of like a little timeline of how the church spread over the first few years. And there's three threads that I want us to look at that I believe are important for making ripples in today as well. So in the first year, 10 days after Jesus ascended to heaven, 120 people gathered together and the Holy Spirit came. So the first thing is gathering together. You see that in the whole of the early church. They went from place to place. They saw people come to faith, and they found ways to gather together in houses, in temples. It didn't really matter where it was. It's just that they needed to be together. They needed to share the gospel. They needed to see the Holy Spirit working in their lives. And so they did that. When they did that, Pentecost came, and you know, the Holy Spirit came. They're speaking in tongues. People think they're drunk. Some people can hear different languages because they're in Jerusalem, which is kind of the center of a place where there's lots of people coming from all over the known world at the time. So there's lots of different languages. And 3,000 people are added to their number on that day. So 120 to 3,000 in one day. So that's the first year things happen. It says God added to their number daily. Second year, their number grew to 5,000. And they're seeing people get healed. They're seeing people come to faith. Sorry, just go back to number two, please. Ola, that would be great. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the spread of the churches. Wherever they went, the Holy Spirit was at work. That was the ripples. It wasn't the structure. It wasn't the person. It was just that they went there. They prayed for people. They experienced the love of Jesus. They explained to them about who Jesus was and why they needed him, and they accepted him and they were baptized. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter and John are arrested in that second year, so just 2 years into their movement, their tiny little movement, 2 years in, they're arrested because people can't take it. They're sharing stuff, they can't take it. You can't say that Jesus is the Messiah. So they arrest them and they tell them, they release them again, but they tell them, you're not to share about the name of Jesus anymore. But these guys had seen Jesus come back to life. Like, there's no stopping them. There's absolutely no stopping them. We can't say the same about ourselves, could we? I'm very, very sure it wouldn't take much to stop me, to be honest, but they wouldn't be stopped. The third year, more believers added regularly. The believers are arrested, flogged, beaten, told not to share about Jesus. The fourth year, at this point, the movement's grown a little bit more. And in Acts 6, it talks about, basically at the time, they used to do a daily distribution of food. So the church believed it wasn't just sharing the gospel, but it's actually living together. And as living together, there was people in that society who didn't have as much as others because of their circumstances. Widows, for example, it's a patriarchal society where men worked. So the women, when they were widows, normally struggled financially. And so the daily distribution of food was for people that were widows. It was for people that didn't have. And it says that the apostles, the disciples said, well, hang on a sec. Look, we're trying to go spread the gospel, and there's a problem with the distribution of food. So let's get seven people who we can trust, who are godly, who love God, to be in charge of that. So this is the first time they bring a little bit of structure into what they're doing. Year five, this is where it kicks off. 5 years in, it's grown. There's numbers coming daily and adding to it. Severe persecution breaks out. There's a guy called Saul, you might know him. He goes around, he starts killing Christians. He starts putting them in prison. Stephen, who's one of those people that had to give out daily distribution of food, they said it was a very godly man. He preached the gospel, And people didn't want to hear it so much. It was so against their thinking that they literally covered their ears and started shouting so they couldn't listen to him anymore, and picked up rocks and threw them at him until he died. Stephen's murdered by religious people because he shared his faith. Today we call that terrorism, right? That's religious extremists. They're killing Stephen because of his faith. And so the third thread in the book of Acts is that there are sudden seasons of sudden growth and momentum, and then seasons of struggle and opposition. But the church still grows despite those seasons. And so I want to read Acts chapter 8, verse 1 to 8. It's going to come up on the screen. It says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem." This is the fifth year in. "And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." That passage I read earlier in Acts 1, was it, talks about going to Jerusalem and then to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So they're scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. That's the next phase of the spread of the gospel. "Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Your people did not want this movement to go ahead." They are going from house to house, dragging them out. We'll go to the next one, please. "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city." You know what? This is the bit that I love, because persecution comes. This is the point where they're like, we can finally quash this movement that's just been going out and spreading this word. Now we can really scare them. We can really stop them. But instead, what happens is they just scatter out to the place where God said they were already going to go, to Judea and Samaria. And when they get there, there's ripples. There's things moving. There's movement that's happening. Wherever they go, the Holy Spirit is at work. They're gathering together. Those three things. They gather together. The Holy Spirit is at work. And whether it's a time of growth and momentum or it's a time of persecution, they're still seeing those ripples go out. Year 6 and 7, Saul, who was killing people, comes to faith. And then, you know, he comes to faith. He spends 3 years and then he starts going out to places. He goes out to Turkey. He goes out to Syria. In the 13th year, believers of this movement start to be called Christians. So 13 years in, this was just a movement with no name. Now other people are starting to call them Christians as a derogatory term, because they can't stand what they're doing. Over the next 20 years, they spread over Syria, Cyprus, Turkey, Greece, Eastern Europe, Macedonia, Rome, and Spain. Rome was the center of the Roman world. And by the end of the apostles' lives, they'd been to North Africa, to Asia, to India, to the side of Europe. You know, they'd been absolutely pretty much everywhere within the known world in many ways, or at least just started to plant the gospel. It talks about Philip, who sees the Ethiopian eunuch, and he hears him reading the book of Isaiah and not understanding it, and so he preaches to him, baptizes him on the spot. People say that's the seed into Africa, right there, within just a few years of the gospel starting. But how did it start? They gathered together. The Holy Spirit was at work in them, and there were seasons of growth and struggle. So I want to take those three things and just apply it to us for a minute. First of all, gathering together. You know, wherever they went, they gathered together. But you know how long it was until the first church building was built? Anyone have any idea? Take a guess. Why'd you go so high? I was just hoping to like build it up, you know, build it. No, 300 years. Thanks, Ray. Ruin that one for me, why don't you? No. Was that 30, Ray? Yeah, no, not 30. No, that was it, yeah. 300 years until the first church building was built. 300 years. How much do we rely on buildings now? They had 300 years until the first church building was built. You know what? It's about discerning what God's doing and not looking at structures, but discerning what God's doing. Because I'm not saying that buildings are bad. We have a building. We're very blessed to have a building. I love the fact we have a building. But it's not about the building. So discern what God's doing. You know what? We need to understand what God's doing in these times as well. I was looking at the spread of the gospel. There's a website you can go on which shows the spread of the gospel over, well, since it began. And at the beginning of the 1900s, the gospel still hadn't reached the majority of South America, the majority of Africa, the majority of Asia, and Australia. But now it has, in the last kind of 124 years. So we're talking about in our generation's lifetime, we've seen the gospel spread to the ends of the earth in many ways. They still say that there's a lot of people who are unreached still. We've gone to every governed nation, but there's still people within those nations. In Nigeria, for example, there's churches in Nigeria. There's things happening there, but there's still thousands of unreached people groups in Nigeria alone. So it's not that we've spread out over the whole world. There's over 25% of people in the world are Christians, over 1 in 4. You know, the media in the West wouldn't have you believe that, but it's the case. From 120 believers gathered 10 days after Jesus ascended and invited the Holy Spirit, and those ripples went out, today there's over 2 billion people believing in Jesus right now, just today, currently alive. That is how the ripples go out. Not one person, not one movement, not one structure, but the Holy Spirit gathering together seasons of growth and seasons of struggle. And so we live in this era, and you know what, in our lifetime, this is happening, and we're seeing things happen, and who knows when Jesus will come back again. We have to just keep on doing this faithfully. And one of those things is actually, as we built those structures, sometimes we built boundaries between us and others. You know what, the best way to stop ripples is to put up a wall. They can only spread where the water keeps on going. When you put up a wall, you put an object there, the ripples stop, they just come back again. I was looking the other day, just at a particular place in London, and I was just looking for a church there that I'd heard about, and I typed it on Google, church in that area, and you know what, I saw the high street, and there's like so many different churches there. I just felt God say, they don't know each other. They don't even know each other. They're not connected. There's no unity. And that's not just in that place. It's all over the place. You know, we know some of the churches here, but we don't know so many churches here that we don't know. How do you stop the ripples? You put up a wall. When I meet with other pastors in this area, you know, Pastor Tracy at St. Peter's and Bishop Andrews, Pastor Samuel, Revival City Church, and Rose Hill Full Gospel Church as well, you know, we all say the same thing. It's not about building our ministry. It's not about building our church. How is the kingdom of God going to come on St. Helier Estate? How are we going to see the kingdom of God come here? How are we going to gather together? How are we going to make room for the Holy Spirit? How, in seasons of growth and in seasons of struggle, are we going to continue to see those ripples going out? And you know what? It's a beautiful thing to have that heart and have that unity together. And people around the country are saying this is going to happen more and more regularly. We're going to see this more and more. All those denominations, all those structures that have been put in place, they're just going to start diluting, not in a negative way, because people are going to start being more unified in spreading the gospel. So I believe that, and that's other people saying that. That's not me. But you know what? The importance of gathering has been devalued in today's consumer climate. You know, it's about following on Instagram. It's about getting what you can. It's not about gathering together. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, give us a heart for unity. Give us a heart to gather in different places. May we not just kind of do away with church structures because of this, but may we also not be clinging to them too much. Pray, Holy Spirit, speak to us in that way right now. The second one, Holy Spirit. You know, you saw Pentecost happen. You saw the Spirit work wherever they went. Wherever they went, there were healings. People coming to faith. Incredible things happening. And you know that verse, keep in step with the Spirit. I say it a lot, but I'm going to keep saying it. Keep in step with the Spirit. I wish I could just tell myself that to help make me believe that every single day, because I don't. Keep in step with what the Spirit is doing. And you know, part of that is actually, I talked about that surface level, right? About ripples being on the surface. Part of it is changing the surface a little bit. It's about being ready in our body language. That's why I asked people to move forward a little bit earlier and to change things up a little bit, because when we come in and we're ready to just sit down and relax, then our body language is saying, we're not ready to get moving. We're not ready for the Holy Spirit to work. Sometimes you have to do something different to remind your body to get in step with what the Spirit is doing. You know what? If I'm driving somewhere in the car, let's say I'm going to the shop, and I think, you know what, when I get out of the shop, I need to remember this. What I do is I put the car radio station on a station that I don't like. Because when I get in the car, I go, what is that awful music? Oh yeah, I need to do that. Because if I write on a list, I know I won't look at my phone till the evening. So it's just changing something in the physical to just kind of just trigger yourself. So actually, we need to do something different. When you come into this building, what do you do? When you come through those gates, what do you do? Part of me just feels like, I just want people to come through the gates, and as they're coming through, just say, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. You see, footballers walk onto the football pitch and do it in front of millions of people watching online, watching on TV, and they do it. Whether they're doing it with a heart or not, I don't know, but they do it. they give their lives to God or to whatever God they serve. You know, what's going to stop us doing that? What's going to stop us making room for the Holy Spirit and changing that physical stuff? You know what? It's lethargic in action. And you know when you've like been somewhere and you've had like some nice food, maybe Christmas Day, you've had some nice food, you're in a warm house and the heating goes up and you just start to feel that kind of tiredness and you start to feel very lethargic. And you know what? I think that's probably the way the enemy stops the church from doing what it's supposed to do, more so than scattering in these current times. You know what? If you can't scare them off, just make them really, really comfortable. Give them a building, set a weekly time, so they only have to turn up once a week. Get them to dress up so that it's a formality rather than a way of life. Make them more concerned about rituals and sacraments than about meaning and the impartation of the Spirit. Or on the other side of it, make them see all those things and be so disillusioned by it that they end up not gathering it together at all. That's the way in which we will stop doing what we're supposed to be doing. We'll stop inviting the Holy Spirit to work. You know what, even look at what we say we need. You know, you look at what they had compared to us, they have absolutely nothing compared to what we have to share the gospel with. You know, you think about all the resources we can do. As a church leader, I get training. I can go find resources online. I can do so much in order to work out how to do all these things. I have so many people speaking into me. These guys, they just went and did it. And you know what? I think they look at us today and they go, hang on a sec. We slogged our backsides off halfway across Europe and North Africa and Asia to share the gospel with one person who would plant a church. And you've got a phone where you can literally message anybody, wherever they are in the world. You've got social media. You can send out a video. And instead, you're sending each other memes of silly cats making funny faces or something. You know, it's just like, come on, what are we doing with this? But it's not about those things. It's about relying on the Holy Spirit. And so I look at this church and I say, you know what? There's holes in places. There's clutter in places. There are things we could sort out. We could say we need this, we need that, we need this. But first of all, may we say we need the Holy Spirit. Because you can have those other things in place. You know, I've been chatting with other church leaders who sometimes have gone somewhere and they've taken over a church and they've got kids ministry amazing, youth ministry amazing, worship amazing, all these things amazing. And they said, you know what? After a few years, I realized it was all superficial. It was all surface level. Yeah, some good things were happening. But actually, we built a tower of Babel. We didn't build what God was telling us to build. The Holy Spirit will show you what to build, where to go, how to work. So Lord, I just pray for that right now. As the Holy Spirit, it's just like that atmosphere just dropping in, hitting the surface, coming into us, and we see those ripples go out. I pray right now for those ripples to come. Then the third thing is seasons of sudden growth and struggle. You know what, that Acts 8 passage, you know, they were persecuted, they've been killed and imprisoned, and they went out to Judea and Samaria, and they just started spreading the gospel wherever they went. You know, imagine if that was our heart, to say, actually, whatever's going to happen this week, whatever's going to happen this month, whatever's going to happen this year, I'm just going to keep on doing it. I'm going to keep on inviting the Holy Spirit. I'm going to keep on sharing the gospel. I'm going to keep on doing the things that God's calling me to do. You know what, there was all those people, religious leaders who tried to stop that movement. Over the next 300 years, there's 12 Roman emperors. We're talking about Roman emperors that are, you know, in history, very well known. Nero, Marcus Aurelius, Hadrian, tried to stop the spread of the gospel. I mean, really tried to stop it. Roman Empire, one of the most powerful empires in the history of the world, tried to stop this tiny little movement of Christians, but they couldn't do it because the Holy Spirit was at work. And wherever they tried to stop them, it scattered out and kept on going and kept on spreading. Those ripples kept on spreading. You know what? It was Emperor Constantine, who came to faith, and he was the one that built those churches I talked about earlier. He said, right, we need to build a place. He came to faith. He wanted to do the same thing over the Roman Empire. That's one of the ways it spread. So the church spread through the Roman Empire. You know what? The church has ridden on the back of some empires and has been trampled underfoot by others. But whether it rode on their back or trampled underfoot, it still spread anyway. And that's the heart that I want us to take today, for the Holy Spirit to put inside us today. That whatever is up against us in our lives, we're going to continue serving God. We're going to continue allowing those ripples to keep on going out, trusting in what he's doing. And you know what? I feel like this needs to be the mandate of our life, a determination to invite the Holy Spirit into every situation. So Lord, I just pray, we see our lives before us. We see the ups and downs. And sometimes, I said earlier, we have this prosperity gospel that everything should be good all the time. And every time anything bad happens, we have to pray for it to be good. But Lord, I just pray in the same way that when we get married, we say in sickness and in health. I pray right now, I say in sickness and in health, I will serve you. Whether I'm rich or poor, I will serve you. Whether people accept me or reject me, I will serve you. Whether we're in a time of growth and momentum as a church, or a time of struggle, whether we have what we need or we don't have what we need, or the right person comes in or someone goes out and leaves a gap, we pray, God, we're going to serve you anyway. And we're going to see you work in this place. And you know what? That's the end of what I wanted to say. But what I really feel is that I'm talking about ripples here and about that moving of the surface. And if I just do this talk and it's just gone to our heads as knowledge, then I've not done the thing that I've just said we should do. And so we gather together. We've all got stuff in our lives. We've got good stuff in our lives. We've got really bad stuff in our lives. There's probably people here that are heartbroken right now over things that are happening in their lives, over family members, over friendships, over careers, over different things. But we're going to invite the Holy Spirit. So I just want to invite you, that body language thing I talked about, let's just stand up for a minute. You know what, let's make some ripples this morning. I'm not talking about just doing stuff, but you want to make ripples, invite the Holy Spirit in. Something will drop into the water and go deep into you, and the ripples will go out. Holy Spirit, come. You know what? Psalm 135, verse 5 to 7 says, I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. All those things that we put above him, he's greater than those. The Lord does whatever pleases him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. So from the sky down to the depths of the sea, as we're talking about ripples. He makes clouds rise from the ends of the earth. He sends lightning with the rain. One brings out the wind and brings out the wind from his storehouses. You know what? Nothing can stop the power of God. Nothing can stop the Holy Spirit from spreading in this place and spreading in the world. And Lord, I just want to repent of us believing that you know what? It's all down to us. And if we mess this up, then the gospel's going to stop spreading. And I want to repent of us believing that maybe church has become a bit old and stagnant. Maybe Christianity's become a bit old and stagnant. Maybe it's on its way out. I want to repent of that because, Lord, we've seen it time and time again against every empire that threatened and scared and shook people. Your gospel continued to grow. And right now there's a lot of lies in the West. There's a lot of lies in society. And it's just so obvious to us that there's so many lies in front of us. If you just go on a holiday, if you just have this, if you just have more money, if you just get that, you'll be happy. But none of us are. None of us are happy with those things. They're just temporary. So Lord, we just commit this moment to you. And pray, we repent of that. We pray, help us to see how those apostles, how those disciples first saw you, how they first saw the movement. Not all the other things that people have built, but the movement that's in us and in one in four people in the world, and will be many more people as well. We just pray for that movement right now in all of us. And you know what? I want to encourage people in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 to 17. There's Elisha, who's a prophet, and he has a servant with him. And they are surrounded by an army. And the servant says to Elisha, what are we going to do? There's so many more of them than there are of us. But Elisha says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. They were outnumbered, but he said that. And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes. Open the eyes of my servant that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked around and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Lord, we think it's one in four. We think it's this many people in Sutton. We think it's this many people in this place. But Lord, open our eyes spiritually to see what you're doing, to see those ripples that we can't see go out, to see, Holy Spirit, that you are spreading through this nation, to see revival that is coming, that's been spoken about from generation to generation and for decades. But we believe that it is coming because people are waking up to the lies in this place. And I pray for an anointing over us. That same anointing on the apostles. There was nothing special about them. They were just human beings with a heartbeat. That was proven when they were killed. Most of them killed by other people trying to stop him. Only one just died of natural causes. But Lord, we know they were just normal human beings who just wanted to serve you. So we pray for that same anointing over them, over each and every one of us, over every believer in this place, over every believer in this nation and in the world. We call forth that anointing to see the movement, to gather together, to invite your Holy Spirit, to see your Holy Spirit at work. And whether we're in times of growth and momentum or times of struggle, to keep on going and to keep on spreading. Wherever we go, we're going to serve you, God. Wherever we end up, we're going to serve you. Whether we're on top of the mountain or at the bottom of the valley, we're going to serve you. We're going to praise you. We're going to keep trusting in you. You know what? Someone on a prayer group this morning shared Habakkuk 3, verse 2. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. You know what? The Spirit's been rumbling in this nation for a while. Rumbling and grumbling a little bit as well. And we're going to see incredible things happen. I believe we're going to see incredible things happen even in this church. And I don't know what it's going to look like. But I know that it's not what the world thinks it will look like. I know it's not what our flesh will think it will look like. It's not always bright lights. It's not always growth in this way that we see it. But it's person by person, place by place, the Holy Spirit coming and working in people's lives and sending those ripples out. And I pray just like that picture I had at the beginning of that light rain coming and one or two ripples. I pray right now, ripples just spread out across this place, spread out across this room. Holy Spirit, just be dropping things into people's lives right now. Be dropping those truths. Be dropping that anointing into people's lives right now. Let's just wait on God for a minute. So first of all, I just want to ask you a question to yourself personally. I don't want you to respond out loud, but just respond with your heart. Are you ready to gather together religiously with other people, with other believers, to keep on doing it faithfully? Answer that in your heart. Not in the forms and the structures that other people tell you to, not in the forms and the structures that I mean, but in the way that God's calling you to do. Do you accept that? Do you accept to invite the Holy Spirit into every situation, to every place that you go, wherever you end up, to say, Holy Spirit, come? And do you believe that you're going to see the Holy Spirit at work in people's lives, in the situations that you look at right now and you think, no way, no way, that's a dark place, that's a dark person, that person can't turn? Do you trust the Holy Spirit to work in those places? Or are you going to look at the big things like the Roman Empire and say, I can't ever see it happening there? Are you going to look at the opposition and say, no, it's not going to happen there either? Well, you know what? Within 5 years, Saul turned around and came to faith and was one of the ones that just went and took it the furthest. So do you accept the Holy Spirit? And do you accept that in sickness and in health, whether you're poor or in riches, whether you're in good times or bad times, whether you're on the mountain or in the valley, you're going to say, you know what, God? Wherever I go, whether I'm with other people or scattered away, I'm going to keep on doing what you're calling me to do. I'm going to keep on sharing the gospel. I'm going to keep on sending out those ripples. And this isn't about doing stuff. Don't worry about how would I share the gospel or how would I do that. This is just, am I going to keep on serving you, God, with whatever you put in front of me? And now I feel there's something about agreement as a church as well for Horizon Church. Should we just agree on this? Can I just ask these questions? Can we just say a good loud yes when I ask them if you agree? Are we as a church going to continue to gather together, not just on a Sunday, but in various ways and in community and in love and in fellowship and the distribution of food like in Acts? Are we going to continue to do that again and again and again, faithfully, no matter what the circumstances, gather together with other believers? Are we going to do that? Yes. Are we as a church going to invite the Holy Spirit and be relentless in our pursuit of the Holy Spirit? and not cut him off, not say, actually, you know what? This is a community group. We can't invite the Holy Spirit here. What will these people think? Who's that person that's coming to church today? What are they going to think? No. Are we going to relentlessly pursue the Holy Spirit in this place? Yes? Yes. And you know what? Are we going to keep on serving God? Are we going to do it whether he gathers us together or scatters us as a church? Are we going to do it when we have the right people in place to do the right things and the right leadership and the right ministry leaders? Are we going to do it when 10 people turn up on a Sunday or when 100 people turn up on a Sunday? We're going to keep on serving God, aren't we? Are you ready to do that?
Yes.
Jesus. Jesus, come. Give us eyes to see it, Lord. Give us eyes to see what you're doing. There'll be many, many voices that tell us how to do it, but Lord, give us eyes to see how you're calling us to do this in our own lives, in the lives of this church, in the lives of other churches, people visiting today from other churches, and in their churches as well, and in their areas of influence. So Lord, thank you. We commit this to you. We pray that today you've dropped something into us that's going to send out ripples in this place and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.